Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
All right, you're with Q, you're with Scott on a Friday as we inch towards the unveiling, the debut of Las Vegas as an NFL market. So we are, I know the city, the buzz is starting to build, and we go back out now on the newsmaker line. We welcome NFL Network reporter Omar Ruiz. You can follow him on Twitter at Omar D. Ruiz to talk about Monday's big game between the Raiders and the Saints at the brand spanking new Allegiant Stadium. And Omar, this is something, you know, for you, you're kind of seeing this to the end because you covered relocation, all of the twists and tangles of the Raiders making it to Las Vegas. You were there at the beginning, and now you get to see this game unfold on Monday night. How does that feel for you?
It's pretty awesome. It's kind of surreal in a way when you think about October 2016, being on the campus of UNLV, awaiting the vote or the announcement of the vote for the Raiders to get that $750 million from the state of Nevada to build the stadium, and that really set the wheels in motion for the Raiders to move. But, of course, they still needed the NFL's authorization, and we remember, you know, 3-4 years ago, the climate isn't currently what it is. Right now, the NFL is now partners with DraftKings and fantasy and, you know, sort of gambling aspect and what Las Vegas, in terms of, you know, the old-school NFL owners, had to think about that. So there was no guarantee that the NFL owners would approve it, but of course they did with flying colors, as it turned out. So to be there as part of that celebration and all the fans that lined up on Las Vegas Boulevard in front of the Welcome to Las Vegas sign, then of course later that fall in 2017 when they broke ground on the stadium, and to now see it some 3 years later in all its glory, and it is spectacular. And as cool as it looks, and we all make the jokes about the Death Star and how unique of a stadium it looks on the outside, I just can't wait till fans can get in there and check it out, because all the different touches that they have paying tribute to the history of the Raiders, to the different art styles paying tribute to Las Vegas and its culture, is just really something else, and I can't wait to be a part of it on Monday.
Omar, you've been to so many different events covering the NFL, from the Super Bowl to the draft and everything in between. With Las Vegas now having the stadium, with them now having the Raiders, how big of a market is that going to be for the NFL and all these extra events that could come to the city?
Well, I think there's no question we'll see a Super Bowl here. You know, as soon as the next maybe round of votes happen, we could see it as early as that. Obviously, we're going to have the Pro Bowl here this season. You know, hopefully that'll take place, and the draft has been rescheduled for 2022. And I think Las Vegas is going to be a part of that regular rotation. With when you talk about a draft and the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl and all the other events, owners meetings potentially now, you know, all the things that are on the regular NFL calendar, I think Las Vegas will be a part of that on a regular basis. And I think, you know, if I'm an NFL fan in Las Vegas, I couldn't be more thrilled with the way the city has positioned itself in the NFL at large.
We're talking to NFL Network reporter Omar Ruiz. And Omar, I went out to get my COVID test out at Intermountain at the facility, the Raiders facility there. I saw you doing your stand-ups out there. What did you think of the facility? You go to all of them in the NFL, and of course here in Vegas, we're hearing how great it is. But how does it compare to the rest of the league?
Well, I mean, it's brand new. I mean, it's short of the Seahawks VMAC right there on Lake Washington, because you're overlooking, you know, beautiful lake, and there's, you know, forest trees and all that right there. That setting is pretty spectacular. But as far as the amenities and the modern day sort of luxury training style that's expected in the NFL, that Raiders facility is right there. And you know, to see, you know, the indoor field and all the outdoor fields, and you could see from our vantage point now, because of COVID and everything is a lot more strict at the facility, you know, we can't have a full tour yet, but you can see that the weight room is there, and it looks brand new, state-of-the-art. I've heard the locker rooms are just, you know, spectacular and as big as their locker rooms are at the stadium. at Allegiant Stadium. And, you know, just from the look test, you know, it certainly passes. And I think, again, you know, having, you know, an Al Davis torch out front and, you know, paying tribute to him and all the history there, there at the facility just goes to show you the great detail that the Raiders have spared no expense for in relocating to Las Vegas and making this their home and feeling it in every way.
Omar, as far as the game goes, Monday night, it's going to be on every single network. I mean, you can't help but to see the game. I mean, it's going to be a real big deal, obviously. What are your expectations? You got the Saints coming into town. Michael Thomas sounds like he's not going to play, but you still know they got a lot of offensive weapons. And then you got the Raiders who just put up 34 points against the Panthers. What are your expectations for the game? What do you expect to see?
Well, I expect to see more fireworks. I think it'll make the Raiders defending the Saints a little easier in that, you know, you can kind of concentrate, you know, resources everywhere else on the field, whereas usually you got to have 2-3 guys on Michael Thomas to at least slow him down. But I think both teams show that it can put points on the board, not a surprise for the Saints. And it's kind of what I think everyone hoped for the Raiders in kind of revamping that offense. And we saw a lot of it on Sunday, and I would expect that to be repeated. I think it's a good test for the Raiders because that Saints defense doesn't get talked about enough. You know, Cam Jordan, the Malcolm brothers there up front, and DeMario Davis, I think, you know, one of the bigger snubs from the Pro Bowl last year. He's going to play like a man possessed this season. I expect him to have an even more monster year than he had last year. And then that secondary, they lost Von Bell, obviously, but Malcolm Jenkins, you can argue even, you know, this late in his career might be an improvement at safety. Of course, you know, with Marshon Lattimore there, you know, one of the best corners in the game as well. So I think it's a good test for the Raiders offense to see how good they really are against that Saints defense. I'm particularly looking forward to the matchups with the Raiders receivers against that Saints secondary.
NFL Network reporter Omar Ruiz with us. And Omar, before we let you go, you know, you've been on the Zoom calls all week with the rest of us asking questions of the players and the coaches. These young Raider players, to me, you know, they have a different mentality, which is what John Gruden was trying to do and Mike Mayock was trying to do when they kind of tore this roster down 2 years ago and restarted. Do you get that sense, too, when you're talking to them, you're talking to the team, that these kids all are on the same page and that's a good sign for this organization finally moving forward?
Yeah, you mentioned one of those Zoom calls. It was the first time I'd really talked to Josh Jacobs, and, you know, and talking to his coaches and everything, I'd heard, you know, what a great kid he was and student of the game and how smart he was and everything, and just, you know, seeing that on display, hearing him speak and how he carried himself, that kind of maturity, you know, even though he's on the cusp of superstardom, to kind of carry himself with a lot of humility still, I think said a lot about him and about his game and the confidence he has. And I think, you know, John Gruden, you know, when I asked him about it yesterday, I think, you know, the biggest thing he learned about his team on Sunday was the mental toughness they had to kind of overcome all the injuries in this new COVID world. Even though they were in Charlotte, you know, for, you know, a day or two before the game, they're quarantined to the hotel. So all that heat and humidity that in years past, maybe they get accustomed to it by walking around the city for a couple of days, they didn't feel that until they got to the stadium on Sunday. And to overcome that here, you know, early going when it's hot and humid out there, and then, you know, facing a dangerous Carolina team who came back on them, overcoming a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, only for the Raiders to respond. It just goes to show you a lot about their mental toughness, and that all goes into what you were saying with John Gruden and Mike Mayock bringing in these guys who love the game, they're hungry, they're tough, and I thought we saw a lot of that on Sunday afternoon.
All right, Omar. Well, listen, have fun at Allegiant Stadium. And, of course, that's going to be – and I got to razz you a little bit because I grew up in San Diego, but I went to UNLV, and you're an Aztec, right? So the UNLV's finally got a coach, I think, that's going to turn them around. So those games might be good again.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys are getting a new stadium here, obviously, with Allegiant Stadium, UNLV. You know, hopefully that kind of brings them to new heights with the program. And we just found out that San Diego State is going to be playing up in L.A. at Dignity Health Park, where the Chargers spent the last 3 years calling home. So I'll get to see those Aztecs and Rebels matchups right there in my backyard. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait for Mountain West football to resume. And you know, if you guys have me on in the spring, I'd love to talk trash and hoops because that's where we really got it going, man. Oh. If they robbed us of this Final Four run this year, we were all set. We skipped the Mountain West Conference Tournament this year. My friends and I, we always go to support our Aztecs, but we skipped it this year. hoping we'd make a Final Four run to Atlanta, and obviously none of it came about, so kind of regretting missing that trip to Vegas back in March.
Yeah, the UNLV basketball program is a sore point for me because I went to school there when it was at the peak. And then, of course, I grew up, though, watching some guys you might know that played for the Aztecs. Point guard Tony Gwynn, Michael Cage, you know, I saw those guys. I'm old enough to remember those, so I actually cheered for the Aztecs before I went to college. But, yeah, we'll have fun with that one, Omar. But, hey, enjoy the stadium.
That's my homeboy.
And thank you so much for all the work you've been doing, and we look forward to watching.
All right, awesome. Appreciate the support. And, yeah, stay tuned all day Monday. We'll have it covered for you guys from pretty much every angle. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Omar Ruiz. You can follow him on Twitter, Omar D. Ruiz. Definitely a great follow, and I know, Q, you and Omar go back, and he does such a great job of reporting on the league. I can't wait to see his stuff out here in Vegas.
Yeah, no, he does a great job. He's all over the league like a glove, man, and so just knowing his knowledge of basically every team, you know, it's not just one team, it's every team, but he's going to do a great job on Monday night, and like I said, with all the coverage that game is going to get, it's going to be amazing, man. So it's going to be like you're there without being there.
All right, well, man, okay, there you go. We got all those interviews out. Look at that. In an hour, you heard from Catherine Terrell, the Athletic New Orleans. You heard from Lewis Riddick from ESPN. He's the guy in the booth for Monday Night Football. You heard from Mo Moten, senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, and from Omar Ruiz from NFL Network. I mean, Q, and they don't have to pay for this stuff. Right?
No.
It's all good.
No. All in a day's work.
That's right, man, because we go hard. It's Friday, and we're going into a weekend where we're waiting for Monday Night Football here in Las Vegas. It's a big, big day in the history of the city and the history of the franchise, your Silver and Black. We're going to go back out on the phones, and we're going to Jay in St. Louis. Jay's gone.
Just kidding.
All right, now we're going to go to Raider Nerd. That's a new one. Raider Nerd, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First of all, great show. Thank you guys for giving back to Raider Nation. You guys are awesome. I just want to let you know I am outside of Allegiant Stadium right now. Drove in from California. It was my first stop. I went to the store. It is massive, and yes. I did want to let the fans know they are going to be open on Saturday and Sunday, but closed on Monday. And I may have spent a little too much money if you catch my drift, but it is awesome here. The fans are great. The staff was great. I even saw the bricks. Saw some friends of mine's bricks right outside the fan entrance there. I'm in heaven.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I Raider Nerd, man. We appreciate the call. And thank you for spending money. I'm sure the Raiders thank you, but that is the Las Vegas economy, which has been just throttled by this COVID-19. So thank you for coming in, staying, eating, drinking, and buying merchandise out at the stadium. All right, Jay from St. Louis, you're on next with Q and Scott.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good, man. You sound mellow.
Chilling.
I was just calling. I'm always going to bring a comedy aspect to it. You always say tigers don't change their stripes. I got a better one. Let's incorporate that with the rest of this league. So, like, Raiders don't change their eye patch. Bengals don't change their stripe. Chargers don't change their bolts. Stuff like that. Like, so if you're referring to a person, whatever team they're on, you throw like that. But then also, kind of wanted to explain the relationship between Raider fans and the team.
Yeah.
How we view the team versus how the media does. So, like, especially younger fans, we get a lot of flack because we're like, yeah, they're so bad, and we criticize the team. Well, we look at it kind of like the Raiders are that girl that's with the guy that's always cheating on her, and the fans are the friends. So we're like, the media's like, yeah, they could do better, and we're like, nah, we're going to fall right back into those losing ways. So until you prove us otherwise, we're going to be stuck here thinking it's always going to be the same. But I think it's just until we get proven otherwise, we kind of have that negative mentality, because if you keep running back to a cheater, you end up with the same result. But that's all I got. Hopefully we win on Monday, guys.
All right, Jay in St. Louis. Thanks, man. Yeah, I follow you a little bit there. I mean, I get it. Like, you got to prove
it. Makes sense.
It makes sense. You got to prove it on the field. There's no doubt about it. And look, it's been a long time since there's been consistency in this organization. But if you look at it, though, and while you're still saying you got to prove it, and I agree again, but it's on the road to recovery. So, yeah, I the skepticism, I think, is healthy, Q, and it's going to stay there until they can actually put some stuff together here and maybe get in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been so long, and the Raider fans, Raider Nation has been following this team faithfully, and every single year it's like, this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. Oh, but they're going to be better this year because this, and this is why this guy is going to be better because of this. And there's always a yeah, but. Well, fans at some point, and anyone at some point, is just like, just show me, man. Right. Stop telling me, just show me. And that's why my man P.E. said the other day, you know, show and tell. It's time to show and prove. You know, get out there on the field, win some games, knock on the door of the playoffs, and then give me a reason to believe that this is the year.
Well, and they have a big, big, big opportunity to make a statement on Monday night in their first ever game in their new house, right? The Death Star Allegiant Stadium. So we'll see how that does. Okay, we go out to Denver and we bring in Raider Dave in occupied territory. Dave, what's going on today?
Yeah, let's ramp up the energy. You want something funny? How about the acronym of the day? TGINI. Thank God it's not Irwindale. I lived in L.A. through that. Oh, my goodness. No, my thanks. Hey, I got a couple keys to the game.
Go.
A Monday memory that I forgot to mention, and a couple plays that have to happen. So, keys to the game, third down efficiency, you win that. You get seven possessions, two TDs, five field goals, and you own the time of possession, and Breeze isn't on the field that much. And I think it's a 29-28 win for the Raiders.
There's wow,
a couple of plays that have to happen, though. They've got to have a designed rollout for Carr. He's so good, so accurate, throwing on the run, on the move. They've got to incorporate that, and I hope they did that this week, practicing up. The other thing I want to see is at least one blitz from Abrams. He's got to come in there and jettison somebody. I mean, come on. So my Monday memory is a running back that took over a Raider-Denver game years and years, decades ago, and it wasn't, you know, a Bo Jackson night. It was a guy that totally turned around what looked like it was going to be a loss, and he throttled people. His name was Kenny King. If you can ever find that that come from behind victory, it is awesome. And a tailgate idea, what's the biggest parking lot in town? Isn't it out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
Yeah, that's just it is, but it's really far away. They have parking lots and stuff near the stadium, which are going to be the center of kind of a regular game day. But because of the fact that there's no fans, they didn't roll that stuff out. It actually gives them more time now to kind of organize it, so it'll be interesting.
Man, I hope you guys can post some photos or vids or whatever on your website or something. That would be really cool to see.
Yeah, we will
have a great time. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in on Monday. You guys are probably having a short show. But I am so happy that Compass Media Networks has worked it out to where all of us can enjoy Raider Nation Radio streaming
yes.
the pre- and post-game.
Yes, sir. You will be able to starting, by the way, our show goes from 2 until 3:15 on Monday. So Q and I will
unacceptable.
Be here. I know.
Well, unacceptable.
We'll go.
Can just do the pre-game show.
That's right.
I mean, for real.
I know.
Who needs? I got it covered.
And we do it for free.
Hey, man, look.
Right?
I probably said that a little too loud. I'm starting to look at my bank account and realize I better stop saying free so much because people keep taking me up on that offer.
That's right. You got to be careful.
Got to be a better businessman.
That's right. Gotta
it's all
always,
business, man.
Always protect you and your family. That's what you got to do. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a couple callers. We got Raider Loke. We got Gangster Raider on the line. We'll get to you guys right after the break, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Q and Scott on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
EVH going there. You know I got to get my Van Halen in, right, Q?
I know. I hear you.
You got to get it in. Little Diamond Dave on a Friday. Hey, got to like it. You know what? We have a surprise guest on the line. You know, we're talking about Monday Night Football, and we talked about yesterday we heard great kind of Raider moments on Monday Night Football. And so our good friend who now lives here in Las Vegas does a lot with the Raider organization. Of course, former Raiders quarterback Jay Schrader is on the line. Jay, how you doing today? How'd you hit him today?
I hit them pretty good until the wind started to blow. You know, I'm not in favor of that wind stuff. But other than that, every day out on the golf course is a good day.
That's awesome. Well, we wanted to talk to you because as I was researching yesterday for our show and talking about these great moments in Raiders history that occurred on Monday Night Football, because the Raiders have played on Monday Night Football so many times, I found the game in 1989 when you beat the Jets 14-7. That game was significant a couple reasons. Number one, Art Shell's first game, right, as head coach.
Art's first game as a head coach and Greer's first game as a head referee. So, yep, it was pretty significant.
Yeah, and then in that game, you guys were trailing the Jets and you hit Swervin' Mervin Fernandez, right, for a long touchdown, 73 yards, I think it was, if I remember now, 73 yards to take the lead and to win that game. What was it like for you? And I know you played on Monday night several times. What is it like for a player? Because every day you got to get up. You're a professional football player. I get it. But Monday night and the spotlight, knowing that you're the only game on in town across the country, what is that like as a player getting ready for it?
Well, that's exactly what it's like. I mean, you know you're the only game in town. You know that your peers are watching, so you want to play well. It's a chance to show out for your peers and to get them to recognize your ability on the field and for your team to show what you have. So it's a big-time moment, and when you can play well on Monday night, it goes a long way, that's for sure.
Jay, what does it mean when, I mean, people say it all the time, but when the Raiders are really good, the league is a lot better. You, as a former Raider, what exactly does that mean when you hear that?
Well, it means a couple of things. It means that the Raider team is playing well, and the Raider Nation has such a following all across the country that everywhere they go, they draw a big crowd, and it's a big game for whoever they play. I remember, you know, back in the day, we went to Minnesota, and, I mean, there was more Raider fans in Minnesota than you could shake a stick at in the middle of the winter. And I was like, you people are crazy to come here in the wintertime because it's like 10 degrees outside, but, you know, luckily, they were sitting inside a dome. But, you know, Raider Nation shows out, and I just think that across the country, everybody, when the Raiders are good, you know that you have to play well to beat them.
Talking to Jay Schrader again, of course, former Raiders quarterback and scratch golfer, and he's now with us talking about Monday Night Football. And, Jay, that pass against that game against the Jets, you hit Mervin about 10 yards downfield. He takes it another 63. What do you remember about that game outside of, obviously, the history of Art Shell's first game? What do you remember about that play and how it came about?
Well, it's very ironic because it was Art's first game. There was a lot of confusion on the sidelines because we had Art as the head coach. We had a passing game coordinator. We had a run game coordinator. They had to all try to get it together, get it through Art, and get it to me out on the field to run. And, I mean, we're in the first quarter, and we've already burned three timeouts. That was my third timeout. I asked Art. I didn't even talk to the other coaches. I said, what do you want to do? He says, well, let's throw a pass. I go, okay, which one? He goes, one that gets the first down. I'm like, gotcha. And I turned around and I was like, all right. So I threw a curl pattern to Mervin. And, you know, I get credit. Everybody says, you know, long touchdown pass. I'm like, no, I threw it about 10 yards. Mervin did all the work. So Mervin should get all the credit for taking it to the house and turning that game around and leading us to victory that night.
I know it's been a real small sample size. We've only seen one game so far, but from the roster that the Raiders have, what you saw what Henry Ruggs and company was able to do week one versus the Panthers, what do you think about the chances for the Raiders Monday night, and what do you think about the direction that the team is going?
I love the direction the team is going. I think they're putting all their assets in the right spot. I love Ruggs, him with Jacobs in the backfield. I think it's going to make a great duo. I think, you know, Derek Carr is going to have a great year. He's going to be able to push the ball down the field. They got some pass rushers. I think they lined up their linebacker core. You know, Monday night's going to be a test. We all know that the Saints are one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to have to play really well, but, you know, it's going to be fun. It's the first home game here in Allegiant. I wish there could be a lot of fans in there, but, you know, unfortunately in 2020 there can't be, but it'll be a heck of a test for them, that's for sure. But I definitely like the direction the team is going.
All right, Jay Schrader, former Raiders quarterback. And, Jay, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We just wanted to get your thoughts because as a player and playing on Monday night, and, of course, this Monday night, an extra special one with the first game here at Allegiant Stadium and Las Vegas' first day in the spotlight as an NFL market. So thanks for spending some time with us today.
You bet. You guys have a great day.
All right, there you go. Jay Schrader, former Raiders quarterback. That's cool, him calling in and sharing some of that thoughts about that.
Well,
Chris brought that play up.
He knew that we had a heck of a roster and a heck of a lineup for guests, and he was like, man, I might as well be part of this star-studded affair.
That's right.
Why not call in?
Let's jump on. Friday, you know, people take Fridays off. We're jamming on Friday. We get better as the week goes on, man. We just keep going.
We're excellent every day, man.
All right, we're going to get to a couple callers. We got to get to the Q-tip here in a minute, but we're going to go out to our buddy Gangster Raider. Gangster Raider, Gangster Raider's gone.
Just
we're
kidding.
Going to Raider Loke. Raider Loke, what's up, man?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on, bud.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Chilling.
I'm doing good. Just enjoying this, sitting in this L.A. traffic right now.
You got company, though. We're with you. Q's in the back seat, grooving. I'm in the front seat reading the map.
I ride shotgun.
You ride shotgun? Okay. You can have shotgun.
I mean, I don't know. I may be one of the very few that when the Raiders play on Monday night, I want the weekend to go by very fast so I can watch the game on Monday. But then I realize, if the weekend goes by fast, then the work grind starts on Monday. So
That's right. Are you excited about this game, though, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited. This was actually one of the games that I predicted before the schedule got released. I was like, well, with the home opener of Allegiant, what better for it to be on Monday Night Football with Gruden and a team. So I went down the schedule and our teams that we were supposed to play, and I was like, I'm pinning either the Saints or the Bucks, but I got to say, it's going to be the Saints, and little did I know, ended up being the Saints on Monday Night Football. So my prediction came to fruition.
Nice, man. Well, there you go. See, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I really wanted to go out and lay a bold prediction on this game. I'm really excited, but I believe Trayvon Mullen is gonna go off and have one of the biggest games of probably the biggest game of his career. I predict he's probably gonna intercept Breeze and take one to the house. And the reason I say that was because this isn't really being talked about, but back when Drew Breeze spoke on kneeling for the national anthem, his comments didn't sit well with a lot of people. And Trayvon Mullen actually took it to Twitter, and he pinned this game on his calendar, and he's actually been clapping back on a lot of Saints fans on Twitter. So I'm kind of loving that, you know. So I expect a big game from the defense. I know we against Carolina, they put 30 on us. Some things to clean up, but Arnett, this is one game I'm looking forward to seeing him ball out.
Yeah, you have the opportunity. Raider Loke, thanks for calling, man. Be careful in that traffic. But yeah, I mean, that's the key. They have an opportunity to make a statement. All right, we got to get to Q's time, and that is when we swab out those ears.
It's always my time, brother.
That's right. There you go. It's time.
Always my time.
It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Now, this Q-tip today on this Friday, and I know we have another day to talk about the game, even though we don't have a full show on Monday, but we have a little bit more time to talk about the game. But my guy Terry from Oakland, man, he actually pointed this out to me and said that this has not been talked about enough. So I thought, you know what? Let me bring it to the Q-tip on this Friday show. And that's the penalties and the lack of penalties that was called against the Raiders on Sunday against the Panthers. A lot of fans are talking about giving up 30 against the Panthers, not looking great, not being able to sack Teddy Bridgewater too many times, just that one time by Mo Hurst. But the fact that the Raiders only committed 3 penalties or were called for 3 penalties on Sunday is very impressive, because normally they're pushing about 100 yards worth of penalties, which is the whole field, which is a touchdown. And I always say that's the hidden yardage that you got to look at. Well, the Raiders were called for 3 penalties for 40 yards. And I know if you look across the landscape of the whole NFL, penalties were down week 1, so maybe that's just a part of it. But if they can do that more consistently and show more discipline and have 3-4 penalty-type games instead of 8, 9, 10, you know, especially those stupid jumping off sides and false starts and the ones that just don't make any sense. If they could play games more consistently disciplined like the game they played on Sunday, they're also giving themselves a fighting chance to win a bunch of games. You know, I mean, just simple as that. You've got to not allow teams to get free yards, especially teams like the Saints that are coming in on Monday that can already get up and down the field on their own. They don't need any help by you. So if you could play a clean game, especially with all those young guys on defense, you're giving yourself an opportunity.
That's right. Sorry, Chris. Chris was trying to shut me up. No, you're right. And the thing is, though, is I don't want Raider fans, you know, if they come out and get five penalties this week, that's not, you know, look, you're going to get some penalties. But I agree with you. To me, even the young defensive front, right, which didn't play as well as they need to play on Monday night, at least they didn't jump offside. They didn't create those pre-snap penalties that gave could have very easily been a massive difference in that game between win and loss had they done something like that. So there's that piece, and maybe they didn't get off enough, and they're going to be more aggressive on Monday. But you're right, and that is, to me, a testament to the coaching staff. By the way, that's the other thing, too, with the penalties. You got to give credit. I know he was a very polarizing figure for Raider Nation when they brought him back, but Tom Cable... I mean, is it time not to give Tom Cable a bunch of credit?
No, I've been giving him credit since last year.
Yeah.
Because the first year he came back, they were horrendous.
They were.
And they gave up, the offensive line, 54 sacks that season?
Yep.
Last year they did a really good job. So I gave him credit last year. But this, I mean, first game, you have your right tackle, two of them go out, and you put a guard there, and you don't miss a beat. You know, I mean, just cooking with grease. He had them prepared and ready to go. And that's why at the end of the game, you saw John Gruden give him a pat right there on the chest. Like, good job, Cable.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a remarkable run for them. I mean, look, they got to be healthy. That offensive line, still some question marks going into Monday's game. I wish we could do shows on Saturday, Sunday, man. Like, we need to, like, build this thing up, right? Just keep going. Seven days.
Look, I always say that sounds good.
I know, but you need some time away from the mic.
But then at the same time, my pocket don't say that it is good. So, I got to stop doing stuff like that. I'm trying to become a really smart free agent. I would have been the equivalent of Scottie Pippen back in the day. They would have offered me the first contract, and I would have took it.
Yeah, I get you. Well, that's right. You need your time away, and you need to know always know your value. That's the key.
Yeah, I know.
Always know your value. All right. We're going to pay some bills knowing that we need to provide some value to our worthy advertisers.
They need their value, too.
That's right. We're going to step aside when we come back. We'll talk with Vinny Bonsignor, and we'll try to get some calls in. You're listening to the Silver and Black today. Speaking of making sure we represent... It's powered by Sam and Ash, our sponsors. That's right. Injury attorney 702-820-1234. You're listening to the Silver and Black on Raider Nation Radio.
Monday for the first ever NFL game in Las Vegas and the Raiders' first game in their brand new home at Allegiant Stadium. It's Monday Night Football between the Raiders and Saints. Pre-game at 3 with kickoff at 5 here on R&R 920 AM. Welcome back to Silver and Black today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
A little grungy.
All right.
There we go.
That's like a little hole in the wall bar.
Yes.
That I just happened to stumble. You know what's funny? Is actually, this reminds me of a bar that I went to when I was in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, and it was a wrestling event. And I'm not a wrestling fan, but a guy that was on Radio Row was like, Q, you got to come out. We're gonna do this show live tonight. You got to be there. And it was like some battle royal in a bar. It was such a cluster. Such a mess. I was like, what am I doing here?
Wow.
But that's what it sounded like. It was like that was the soundtrack to it. And I looked around and realized I had no business being there. But whatever.
There you go.
It was free. So
it's free.
That was cool.
We are ramping up to Monday's game. We're here. We've heard phone callers all day saying they're on their way into town or they're down at the stadium. We had one of the guys call in and say he was down at the stadium and just spent too much money on merchandise. I think that's going to happen a lot this weekend. But there's still some questions on the field, right? We got another injury report today. And so we turn to our good friend, Vinny Bonsignor, who hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, coming up at the top of the hour. And Vinny, on the report today, still nothing shocking, we're still waiting to hear about Nick Kwiatkowski, who, of course, Paul Gunther today gave some hope when he said he looks really good.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. What I had gotten earlier in the week was it's going to take a couple more days. And I always took that to mean, there's a chance that he can play.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, we'll find out what the real deal is in a couple of days. It was more, we're going to find out if he can play or not in a couple of days, which is a real blessing. Because, whenever you hear pectoral injury with a linebacker, that always sounds like at least a couple of weeks if it's, unless it's like a real serious one where there's a full-on tear going on. So to avoid the tear, which that seemed to be the case, according to reports earlier in the week, and then hearing, from my sources, going to give it a couple more days, immediately thinking, there's a chance that he can play, and it's not just a week or 2 weeks that he might be shelved. So that's definitely a good sign, and especially against this team, because, you talk about the weapons that they have, and without Michael Thomas, to me, Alvin Kamara becomes a huge, part of the game plan, as does Jared Cook, and that's linebacker territory. So with Corey Littleton, and if Kwiatkowski can go, you're going to be in much better shape than if one or the other is out.
Yeah, and if you look at, we're talking to Vinny Bonsignor in the huddle coming up at 4 o'clock, and you look at that linebacking core, Raekwon McMillan is there. Have we heard much about how he's adapting to the defense and how much he's picked it up so far?
Well, according to John Gruden, how would I know? which was funny, but it's just going to be, he's been here just a couple of weeks and, trying to find his way. But as far as, how much of it he has, that's, to me, you don't really know until you just get him into the game. I mean, I'm sure they're talking about it and, communicating. But it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to go out there and do it. He held his own against the Panthers. So if there's any silver lining to Kwiatkowski going out when he did, it gave McMillan a chance to get on the field and get his feet wet in this system, on this team, with this new defense that he's learning. Although it's familiar to him, so it's not like this is a completely foreign new defense. He's got some track record with somebody that knows Paul Gunther, that coached under Paul Gunther. So that gives him a little bit of a leg up. But, I think the hope is that, again, Kwiatkowski's going to be able to play.
And what are your thoughts? I got to ask you almost every single day, and I'll probably ask you on Monday as well. Oh, wait, we won't be on. Anyway, Henry Ruggs, thoughts on him? Didn't practice again.
Not good. You have an extra day because it is Monday night. They haven't completely ruled him out or anything like that. It could just be, again, precautionary, just to make sure that he's not going to do anything until he has to do something, which would be on Monday night. You just don't like that a guy might have to go into that game kind of blind without any practice, especially a young player like that. But if that's what it takes to get him on the field on Monday, then you have to do everything that you can. And I'm sure for Henry, being from that part of the world or the country down south, the chance to play the Saints, who kind of rule that area and that region, I'm sure he wants to be out there to play. I'm sure he has a lot of friends in that area that want to see him play against the Saints. But obviously they're going to take as much caution as possible because they need Henry Ruggs for the length of the season. But I sure would like to see him out there, because it's just he just adds such a different element, and he did that on Sunday, especially for that first half. Was kind of a decoy in the second half, but you understand, especially when you watch from where we watch in the press box, you understand the commitment and the focus that he demands,
that he
basically
draws.
And there were a couple of plays where it was like really noticeable how Derek Carr was able to utilize his eyes to kind of like look toward where Henry was, and there was a lot of defensive focus running with him, and that just opened things up. Derek mentioned the one with Josh Jacobs, but there were a couple of other instances where guys were just open and had more room to operate because the defense was paying attention to Henry Ruggs.
Now, we're hearing there's some big, big name going to light the Al Davis torch. Do you have any insight yet?
I do not have.
You don't have it?
I don't have.
Vinny, you're the guy in the know.
You know what? I'm trying to figure out if Henry Ruggs is going to play.
That's right.
I'm sure they're going to do something really special. It's super unfortunate. The closer we get to this game, it's really unfortunate how things unfolded. And we had Eric Grubman on last night. He was, the NFL vice president, kind of in charge of helping the Raiders, get to this point with this stadium, along with the Rams and the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. And even Eric was talking about how it's going to be really emotional for him when he finally walks into that stadium. He wants to, I think, wait till it's a full on 65,000 strong, because that was what the whole vision was. It was going to be this. Las Vegas was going to be, the central location for Raider Nation to gather every Sunday. You're going to have your fans from Las Vegas and Nevada, no doubt about it, and that's going to continue to grow and grow and grow. But everywhere else, Los Angeles, Southern California, the Bay Area, and everywhere else, what a great place for the Raiders to have their home base in the epicenter of fun, and that's what Las Vegas is, in an area where all of Raider Nation can gather on a weekend to do it the right way. That was always the vision, and it's going to get there at some point. It's just unfortunate because it's Monday Night Football. This was supposed to be that night where it all came together, and it's going to be a great event regardless. You're still going to have the nightlight and the strip behind the stadium,
the
and it's
going
to look beautiful from
over.
A television standpoint. Yeah. But it would be nice if the fans could have been involved.
But you know what? We're getting calls. There's people coming.
Like, there's no doubt.
They're coming anyway.
Yeah, because you can. I mean, it's not like you're going to Jacksonville.
No, exactly.
Sorry, Jacksonville.
Go ahead, Q. You had a question for him, man. Sorry.
Well, no, I just wanted to know, in Vinny's opinion, how big of a game is this going to be for Eric Harris? How big of a test will this be for him?
Every time you step on the field, it's a test. And he didn't have the best game last week. But I look at his numbers from last year when he got, extensive time, and he was fine. He was perfectly fine last year. I would imagine that he's more of that player than the player he showed on Sunday against the Panthers. And I think there was, some of that grading, probably when you look at the grades, it probably reflected the double move that Damon Arnette got beat on, and he was the last line of defense, so they probably docked him a little bit on that. That didn't look good, but honestly, and I'm sure Damon would tell you that was his responsibility, that was his bad. But there's no doubt that Eric Harris needs a bounce back performance. There's no doubt that there's players on the Raiders defense that need to bring it a little bit more, and I point right to the defensive line. I thought they got better as the game went on, but they need a really good effort on Monday against the Saints to make life difficult for Drew Brees, because really you can't just let him sit back there and pick you apart. That's his game. He's a master at it, and so for the Raiders to mitigate that and to manage that, they need to figure out a way, whether it's getting him to the ground or just making life difficult for him somehow, some way. They have to figure out a way to do that.
And you look at, Vinny, you look at the schedule coming up for the Raiders. It's the tougher part of their schedule.
It is.
And a loss at home wouldn't be the end of the world.
No.
I know for fans, they might think so, but it wouldn't be. But when you look at the next 5 weeks, they're going to have to really pick up, the defensive line is going to have to rush the passer better. We heard Max Crosby talk about it yesterday. We heard Paul Gunther talk about it today. But the sense is that I get, and you tell me if I'm right, that they feel like they're closer than we saw. That they feel like they're closer to getting those
rush.
Guys. Yeah, the pass rush. To really kind of doing what they thought they saw during camp.
Well, I hope they are. I hope they feel that way, because you have to feel that way. And it wasn't a good performance. We can make, point to some factors. I thought fatigue, we've talked about that, set in a little bit, or was a factor. I thought Teddy Bridgewater, the savvy guy that he is, kept them off balance with the cadence. That is a factor. And as the game went on, they started creating more of a push, more. I felt like they started working more in tandem better, you know, getting off the ball a little bit quicker. I thought guys like, you know, Carl Nassib, I thought had a pretty decent game. But they got to get more from Malik Collins. They have to get more from the interior of the defense. Got to get more from Max Crosby and Clee Farrell. Those are the guys.
And as we talked with Catherine and Mo earlier, the Saints have some inexperience up front on that offensive line, so they could try to look to take advantage of that. Vinny, coming up 4 o'clock, you and Lincoln, have a great show.
Thank you very much, and have a great weekend. And, you know, I'm just counting down the hours to Monday Night Football. I can't wait, man.
All right, Q, have a good weekend, man. It'll be game day the next time we talk.
Absolutely. You guys have a good weekend. Stay safe. Vinny, have a great show.
Silver, you too, man. Have a great weekend.
Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.